The voice you're hearing is Richard Kiley. We spared no expense. Okay, I picked the right one. All right. Because the other one I had in mind was, you know, God creates dinosaurs. Destroys dinosaurs.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
God creates man. Man destroys dinosaurs. Man creates dinosaurs. Dinosaurs eat man. Woman inherits Earth.
that one's a real good lines. That's a good stuff. This is a good movie. Who would have thought?
I mean, it only made like about $1 billion. You know,
it only was like the highest grossing film ever for like until like Avatar came out. I think.
Wait, didn't Titanic make more than this movie?
Oh yeah, you might be right.
How much money did the Minions movie make?
Well, I'm looking at highest grossing, so you got this includes franchises, because number one is MCU, number two Star Wars. It doesn't help. Hold on.
Okay, aside from that. Well, I mean, Jurassic Park became a franchise, so.
Yeah, it was.
How much money did the Minions movie make? Just tell me right now.
Is it even on here? Oh, shit, it is.
Yeah, because it's one of the highest grossing.
1.159 million.
It beat Jurassic Park.
Oh, it did.
No, I will say $1 billion back then probably is worth more than $1 billion now. Granted, $1 billion is still a shit ton of money. But
did I say billion? Yeah, it is billion. I thought I said million.
If it was 1 million, I'd be like, what? I don't even think the budget would have... Okay, no, the point I'm trying to make is the Minions movie made more than the Jurassic Park movie. Granted, that doesn't account for inflation, but...
Oh, but Jurassic World's number 6. So
is it really?
Life finds a way. Dinosaurs find a way.
Welcome, folks, to the Spotter Pod. Spot number 65, I believe. I'm Jeffrey Excellence, and with me, as always, the Big O. Ocean, because he's wearing blue.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's Ophie. I am Ophie. That is my name.
That it is. Yeah. What are we covering today, pal?
Well, since we had such a fun time, legitimately, not sarcastically, had a fun time covering Jurassic Park the novel, we decided, you know what, might as well pair that up with Jurassic Park the movie, the novel, the film. That's the word.
Yeah, the film. But in case this is your first time listening, we always do some lingering thoughts on the last spot that we did, and the last spot we did was. The world God only knows, right?
What? No, it was Digimon the movie.
Whoops. just edit it out, right? Just edit it out,
fucking,
right?
Just fucking left your fucking mind, huh? you call yourself a Digimon fan? Whoa.
Oh, don't make me start spitting the Digirap real quick.
Don't make me start showing you my Omegamon model kit.
Oh, did you actually build that?
Hell yeah.
Oh, did you? Where's the model?
It's inside because we are maybe moving. Things are going. Things might be I could see us by the end of the year, so that's cool. But I got to pack stuff up, including my model kits. But hey,
so any thoughts? Digimon, any thoughts on Digimon lingering? Digirap is the greatest. It's more greatest piece of music that you've heard in your entire life, I believe.
I mean, yeah, if I remove, like, every other song I've ever heard, then it's a competitor. but, like, yeah, I don't know, because I just kind of went back to Digimon Hole. Because I don't think I actually ever finished Cyber Sleuth, so I went back and almost done with that. And
I'm actually taking a break from Next Order right now, actually playing a little more Red Dead.
Okay. But then I discovered that one of my favorite voice actors voices Agumon in Digimon Savers. So I guess I'm 2 episodes into that. I guess it's okay. I don't know. I mean, why not? I think
Savers was all right. I mean, mostly Agumon.
Yeah, but mostly it's because I actually fucking love Shine Greymon. Like, holy fuck.
Oh, do you? Even more than War Greymon? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, is that a hot take? Is that a fucking hot? Yeah, so okay,
throw the red flag on that one.
Whoa, come on! And I also love Rise. Okay, no, Rise Greymon's good because it's dumb because it's a gun. and I actually have been watching the new reboot of Adventure.
Oh, shoot. I was watching that too, actually.
Oh, so yeah, it is on.
It's time Hulu. To cover it, is what you're saying. This is now a Digicast.
Because I was going to fucking say, yo, because I remember you said, yeah, it's basically the original story, but don't.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Fucking yeah, not. It's not. Like, whoa.
I was super wrong. I was fucking, super wrong.
He's there in like the first episode two. I don't know. He's there.
I mean, hold on. I'm too in, but yeah, no, it's significant. It's actually significantly different from the first episode, in which I actually appreciate it. It's not
yeah,
a rehash. It's a retelling.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like FMA versus FMA Brotherhood, but
oh,
and Brotherhood was the superior. I mean,
oh,
the original FMA anime was better. Well, not better. It was still good, but Brotherhood, I think, had a greater. I mean, it was the original plot, you know. So. But yeah, thoughts on the Digimon movie before we get any more sidetracked?
The actual movie? No, not really. I mean, it's...
Yeah, no, I think our opinion's the same. It was really... They loosely strung together all three parts. That third part, they chopped to shit. So, what can you do?
Actually, I think I read or I saw that the soundtrack or something is available online now or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, it's probably on Spotify, I'm sure.
Like it just got released or something.
Oh wow! Hey, like I said, the execs are listening to this podcast, bro.
I'm pretty sure it's the Japanese one. We're not getting the Digirap on.
The execs are listening to this podcast along with Vince. They're all just getting together in a room and it's like, hey, write that down. Everything they say is golden.
It's like the which SpongeBob episode where he was saying write that down.
Yeah, no, that's what I was referencing.
Which one was it?
I can't remember.
Shit, it's gonna bother me. No, I think it was Squidward. Squid was doing something. Oh no, was it the camping episode? And he was like, yo, this is how you set up the tent? Or
No, I can't remember.
Yeah, that's gone.
Any news you wanna scroll over?
News, that would have been my news just because it was tied directly to the Digimon. Well, kind of loosely, because that version of the Digimon movie is probably different than what we watched. Is one of those,
I actually do want to watch that just to contrast it. Yeah. But hey, if there's no news, then let's move on. So today, as we mentioned at the beginning, we are covering Jurassic Park the movie, as directed by Steven Spielberg. Why don't you give us a quick overview on this movie?
So yeah, obviously based on the book by Michael Crichton, and actually I think he did the screenplay. So
they hired him on there to condense it and transition it into a movie. I think there was also additional people to help cut it down even more so, yeah. But yeah, they did have him on board for this.
But you know, it's always good to see the original novel creator getting directly involved as he, you know. As you see, the film obviously became a little more famous than the novel, but hey, at least he had a hand in it. And so I think actually this quote I have right here kind of sums it up, that Crichton basically took his book, which was pretty long, which I think, you know, we both agree, kind of long.
How many pages was it again?
Well, it depends on your cover. I had a small little novel version that was like 400, like just under 400.
I mean, still for a small book, 300. That's a lot of pages. So.
No, it's pretty long. The book was very long. His script had about 10 to 20% of the content. Scenes were dropped due to budget and violence toned down. And, you know, I think that basically sums it up. It's a lot less. And I would say this in tone, too. It's a lot less critical of humanity as a whole.
I agree.
Yeah, sometimes in the book, especially from Malcolm's character, who yeah, they cut down a lot of that.
Like he drones on about it, like Dr. Cox and Scrubs. Like he really hammered it.
He needs you to fucking understand how. Oh, you didn't just fuck. You didn't. I'm not going to tell you fucked up. I'm going to explain in excruciating detail exactly why and how you fucked up.
And not just once, but I'm going to do it three different times throughout the book.
And I don't know if I ever got this across. I actually fucking love those. I don't know if you feel about those tirades. I fucking love them.
It makes sense for the character, and I see where he's going with it, but, you know, in my head I'm also like, ugh, I already heard this like two other times. Why are we still on this?
I feel like he gives it a different spin each time. He goes on.
I mean, also he's like dying. And
he's also dying.
He's high on morphine.
Yeah,
so.
No. It's,
yeah, there's probably a lot of things that contribute to that.
But yeah, basically they cut a lot of, maybe you could say the fat to leave the core essence of the novel.
I would say like definitely cut out a lot of the attention to detail that you see in the book. And then they also cut out a lot of scenes in the book that I actually am a little disappointed it wasn't in the movie. Okay. Like, for example, remember the scene when they look up the number of animals, or rather dinosaurs on the island?
Yeah.
And then Malcolm's like, oh, just put a bigger number and just see how many we get. And then they show how many extra velociraptors there are and such. Like, I thought that was kind of a critical scene, because then it shows them like, oh shit, maybe this isn't going exactly how we planned it to, you know?
Yeah. I think in terms of pacing, shit goes down. Yeah, shit goes down. Like, you don't know shit's getting bad until, a bit into the movie already, versus in the book fairly early on. There's inklings of some shit wrong, but, you know, maybe they did it to help with the audience attention span, so, you know, you don't have to. And I guess, cutting away a lot of details, too, for the general population.
Oh, significant amount of details, honestly. I mean, I still think they leave a fair amount of the details the minutiae, right, on explaining how it works. Mm. Like, for example, how they sequence the DNA and all that. But no, I think there's significantly more that is found in the book, but that's really more of a difference between books and films in general, right? Because you have a lot of more. For books, you could pick up and then put down, right? But for movies, you generally have to sit through it if you're watching in a theater. Yeah. So they can't just spend so much time on those little, what's another word for details? I can't think.
Details, probably another word. I don't know, but I'd say this is an issue that's inherent to the conversion. You know, it's not unique to Jurassic Park. I think it did a fairly good job. Features,
I will say what you have on the themes and tones. It is generally the same theme. I actually think the movie was faster paced than the books, but for the most part, that's how a lot of transitions go. Because, like we mentioned earlier, just the time frame that you have your audience is much shorter in movies as opposed to a book. Like, and I think they established that, you know, the shit's pretty bad. Like, rather as far as the situation is not really controlled. When the opening scene of Jurassic Park, you have the raptors eating that random, God, what was his name?
He didn't. I don't think he had a name.
No, he had a name.
He had a name?
It was J-O or something. J-Y? I can't remember. But no, random.
Sure.
I will rewatch it and point out. But no, random Hispanic character got in, and then Muldoon's like, fuck! You know, essentially.
I thought it was black. He looked black to me. Well, I guess. He can be dark.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the point I'm trying to make is that was the opening for the movie as opposed to the book, when, you know, the thing that bit that girl was like, it seemed like a small lizard, you know, like we would find out that it was a compi, but at that time there's confusion on whether or not it's a dinosaur. And then they go through this whole thing of, hey, why is this species so different? You know what I mean? And they're slowly peeling back the discovery that, oh shit, there's actually dinosaurs, you know, as opposed to just opening up in the movie, hey, this motherfucker's getting eaten by a raptor that we're not going to animate, because A, to build suspension and disbelief and build that tension for the audience's imagination, which is good. And also probably because it takes a shit ton of money to animate.
Oh, yeah.
That type of thing.
You know, it is Spielberg, but hey, even he has a budget.
So right.
He has the
actually, something I want to point out is the budget of this movie was, I think I saw on Wikipedia, it was like $60 million. So to make $1 billion on that return is quite the impressive feat.
That's pretty good. It's like what? What percent? Like couple hundred more percent than what you put in? I don't know.
Yeah. No, the cost return is insane there.
Yeah, but good on them.
So let's get into these themes and tones. So the common theme within both books is the hubris of man trying to control nature. And I'm glad you put that down, because when I was thinking about it in preparation for the podcast, I was like, I think hubris is like the main point here. And I'm glad we put the same word to text over there. But I would say, although it is relevant to the movie, I think they hammer it more so in the book. And I know we're referencing the book a lot, but that's kind of why we're doing this specific spot, is to compare and contrast the two, but no, I would say they hammer that theme more so in the book, because A, the Malcolm has a greater exposition on it, and then B, I think a lot of the characters that were available display that theme more significantly than they do so in the movie.
Yeah, so basically I would say, yeah, the book is a lot more critical on humanity than the movie is. And yeah, I think generally probably, yeah, for make it a little lighter for the gen pop.
And also, like, if you're a 5-year-old destroyed in whatever 1993 to see this movie, you don't really give a shit about the pride yeah. of man and how they're standing on the shoulders of giants, such and such. You just want to see the fucking T-Rex eat Gennaro on the toilet, right? let's get to the good stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I think yeah, that's kind of what and you could argue that it's basically, yeah, you're taking the Jurassic Park novel, make it a more Hollywood, you know, which means it's more kid friendly, more marketable,
more marketable. That's the key word.
Make it. And that's probably why it grows so much fucking 1.03.
Yeah. Billion. Yeah. And whether that's right or wrong, isn't really up to us. It's just more of a, what did you prefer personally? Right. Yeah. And I mean, I can't speak for you, but I think overall I enjoyed the book more in comparison to the movie, but that's not to say that this movie was bad, you know. And in fact, I would say this movie was good for the most part.
I still think it's still would I say it's my favorite movie? It's probably either this or the Blues Brothers. I fucking love Blues Brothers. I love the Blues Brothers.
Right.
Oh, we should do the Blues Brothers
one of these days.
That'd be great. Anyway, but no, yeah, I do think generally, yeah, personally, I enjoy the message more in the book, just because I feel like, yeah, in a book you could be way more harsh on, because he really fucking goes in to how fucked up the world is and how fucked up science is due to capitalism,
lack of caution and mm-hmm. respect for what they're doing. Yeah, and I think the key line in both the book and the movie, and I'm gonna paraphrase here, is yes, so you guys figure out that you can do it, but you never stop to ask yourself, should I do it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
There's no scene of Dr. Wu getting brutally murdered by the raptors. I'm kind of just, he actually just fucks off after he appears, honestly.
Yeah, he doesn't really do a lot.
God damn. BD Wong, give him some screen time. Let him get fucking eaten alive, bro.
No, you have to save that screen time for... I don't think actually anyone got additionally. I guess the guy in the beginning, he wasn't. He was a character they added.
But that was off screen, though. I mean, they ate him. Oh, I'm blanking on his name.
Muldoon? He died.
Yeah, that was different. Yeah, he didn't die in the. Yeah, okay, you know what? I think before. I do want to talk about this when we get to the characters and arcs. I don't want to get too far into it. So before we do that, I want to point out a tone. Not a tone, sorry. And tonally speaking, I would say the movie is more lighthearted and less grim than it is in the book.
Yeah, definitely.
Then that's not to say the movie doesn't have its serious moments, but you could definitely tell, like Ophi mentioned earlier, it's more marketable. It's more Hollywood to say, right? So it's more happy-go-lucky, but it's not as harsh, I think, is the word.
Yeah, definitely. There's less of an edge, or the novel has more of an edge, I'd say.
I always use that word like more in jest as opposed to serious, descriptor. But no, you are correct.
I guess so. Yeah, the whole.
Well, no, it's just like if someone's like all dark. Yeah, I'm edgy. I'm the lone wolf. Ooh, look at my guy liner.
Oh my.
Yeah, you like that?
What am I? What was I saying? I mean, that's why I said edge, not edgy. What was I saying?
Okay, but no, a theme that I don't think you can really find in the book, but is prevalent in the movie is the importance of family, more so. And look, this is portrayed by both John Hammond and what's his face, Grant. So Hammond obviously. So he's not a dick in this. I mean, that's another character that's like showed the theme of hubris of man, right, in the book. But I would say he is prevalent to that in the book. I'm sorry, in the movie rather. But instead of following his great pursuit, he gives up on endorsing Jurassic Park and just is concerned about the safety of his grandchildren, which he should be, right? Because that's what a regular person should do. So that I think that drives home that theme. And also Grant, rather, I think he came along to the idea of having a family.
Yeah, more definitely. So. Yeah, that's very clear.
That's his like main arc, yeah. I would say.
Yeah.
Or rather, one of his main arcs.
Quickly establishes that he doesn't like kids, with the whole fucking turkey guy. 6 foot turkey kid. He fucking cuts up. Your potential cuts up.
Cuts up the child right in front of his family. Perfect.
Eventually, after saving two kids.
After the shitty kids get their roles reversed, as in Lex is more, she's a hacker.
Yeah.
After Lex becomes a hacker and she's not as annoying and she's older, and then Timmy becomes younger and annoying, but is still into dinosaurs, and then gets electrocuted alive, which is
At least he's not complaining about everything. Now, I do think that the switch is a net positive because, yeah, you have the little one who's a little more enthusiastic.
Yeah, no, Tim doesn't. Tim in this movie doesn't quite endanger their lives as much as Lex does in the book.
And
I hate Lex him.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, and then the fucking biting, like, oh, that's why you're not dad's favorite.
Like, what the fuck? Goddamn annoying brat.
We'll never forget the greatest villain of our generation, Lex from Jurassic Park. Not any of the dinosaurs, not the Rex. Not the Rex. Lex. Need to make sure.
Stupid. Alright, well, speaking of stupid, let's get into these characters and their arcs.
Yeah, sure.
I would say, you have this right. Most characters resemble their book counterparts. Some characters just got cut out entirely and got changed out, but I think Nidri is actually a little different. Not little. I think he's substantially different from the book as opposed to the movie. Because although Nidri is portrayed to be a brilliant hacker, I think he's a lot more of a giddy
social person
in the movie as he is in the book. And in addition to that, I think Nidri is a more calculated person in the book than he was in the movie. Because look, if I remember correctly in the book, the whole point Nidri is meeting with the rival company is so that he can record them so he can blackmail them in case the rival company tried to short him on the money.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah, no, he was explaining it. Like, he's like, he was saying it was all part of his grand master plan. Once again, his hubris on display, which went well when he got acid spat in his face. No, I'm pretty sure that's correct. That Nidri, he got the first half of the money in person, not only to get the money, obviously, but also to record the conversation. So if for whatever reason they tried to back out, he could blackmail them. But there's no inkling of that brilliance, rather that cunning and calculation in the book, or rather in the movie, which is a little disappointing to me.
Okay, I'll have to check on that maybe later.
I mean, you can fact check me while we move on, but...
Oh, no, I will say, instead of that, we do get Newman from Seinfeld, who I just fucking love watching this fucker.
Oh, is he from Seinfeld? Well, that kind of explains the character, why the character is a lot different, tonally speaking.
Oh my god! Like, because neither of us have really watched it, so our main exposure to Seinfeld is the movie. Like, I understand it's one of the most beloved sitcoms. You know, I get it. I can see
one
it.
Of the most beloved sitcoms on the face of the earth.
So I can see it as, like, yeah, we just watched a really bad project from him. I'm sure.
What are you talking about? It's really great. It's a cult hit, bro.
I'm sure he's
greatest thing of all time. Better than Shrek.
I mean, from what I've seen, I'm gonna ignore what you just said. Anyway, but from what I've seen, Seinfeld's kind of funny. I don't know. It was all right. He definitely is a more comical character, I'd say. Especially with his, the way his virus is portrayed with the fucking, was it? You can't catch me or some shit like that.
Oh, it's like you didn't say the magic word.
Oh, yeah.
And then obviously He has a filthy desk. I mean, I think Nidri in the book was also a slovenly person, but I think he had acne and everything. But what's it called in the movie? Obviously, he has of course, he's gonna have like smut on his desktop, right? He's gotta have a lady in a Playboy outfit out for everyone to see.
Yeah, like, why not? You have no shame. He has nowhere to hide it. He's because he's fat. The fucking Scott Steiner. He's fat. This fat motherfucker is 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And he's what else is he saying that?
Are you talking about are you talking about the fat asses promo?
No, not the fat asses. That was the Dudley Boys. I'm pretty sure he's talking about Joe here. And not the math one. It's when it's like him and I think a couple other. I think Sting was in the ring. They're all in like suits and just sitting in an empty arena.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's just complaining. Hold on, maybe I'll show you the clip later.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm familiar with that iconic promo.
This fat motherfucker. God, I had another look at the fucking math promo. I still never gets old. It will never fucking get old. No,
it is definitely a gem.
I think it's actually really impressive that he remembered all the numbers. You know, was able.
Now,
to
granted, I don't know if his math is exactly correct granted, there's no set rules for math in determining odds of wrestling matches.
Yeah, I have said before, maybe on this podcast, I don't remember. The actual computations he does is completely correct. He did it right.
I was watching it. I think there's a part that he did wrong because you're not supposed to add the percentages together.
Okay, that's why I'm saying the operations he performs are correct. Now, whether or not they were, you know, they actually mean anything.
Quick little math lesson for the boys and girls that don't listen at home. If you want to determine probability, you don't add the percentages or the likelihood of an event happening. You multiply them together. Like if you had a coin and you're like, the odds of getting heads on the first flip is half, and then the odds of getting tails on the second flip is half. So the odds of getting heads then tails in that sequence is half times half, so it's you have a fourth of a chance of getting it, and that's it's not important.
But he's a genetic freak and he's not normal. Who else is a genetic freak? All these dinosaurs.
Oh, you're right.
Oh my god. Anyway, get back to the movie. And also Samuel Jackson as a John,
that's the name. God damn, I was totally forgetting about that. He was the engineer.
Yeah.
Ray or whatever.
Ray Arnold, there you go.
But we didn't even get to see him die. We just got to see his arm. Okay. His arm coming out of nowhere onto his lifeless arm just falling onto Ellie.
I fucking love that moment. That's one of my favorite moments in the movie.
Is it really? Yeah, damn. Yeah. Dude, they cut out... I feel like they cut out a lot of good scenes that I wish...
They cut out Ralphie! How dare they cut out Ralphie?
Oh, the little fucking Triceratops.
I guess they get the Brontosaurus. No, they have that in the book, right? The Brontosaurus.
Yeah, I think they interact with them in the tree. No, okay, look, they cut out the scene where Ellie is like she's outpacing the raptors. Mm-hmm. I guess she is running away from raptors, but it's not exactly the same scene where she jumps from a building to a pool. And yeah, then I definitely think the book was more exciting there. Muldoon gets outsmarted by a raptor, which honestly, that was actually a cool scene. So I'm not even mad at that.
Yeah, that's another fucking. It's probably a meme too, the whole clever girl thing.
Dude, I didn't realize those iconic memes came from this movie because I never saw this movie till recently. But yeah, it's like, oh look, it's what's his face. See, no one cares. Like when Nidri points it out to that one guy.
Yeah.
And then aside from that, and then there's no scene of a 3v1 of Grant versus the Raptors. Yeah. So I'm like, that's so fucking. And then when he does fight the Raptors, he gets a shotgun that we don't, and then he shoots at them, which we don't even see on camera. We just see fucking bullet holes. I don't know. It was kind of lame. Felt like a cop out to me.
Fair. No, you can definitely. Yeah.
And I know they mentioned the whole lysine thing. So I was thinking, oh, they're going to bring it in for the final showdown. But no. He doesn't even He doesn't even fight off the raptors. For some whatever fucking reason, the T-Rex comes in. I'm just like, that's...
No. See, I will defend that, because that... I fucking love that scene because it is the culmination of you have no fuck. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen on Monday.
Yeah, I knew you were gonna say that. Shit. I knew you were gonna say that. I saw that.
Anything
shit.
Anything can happen. On
I saw it coming.
Anything can happen on a house show.
Look, if I didn't read the book, I probably feel the same way about it. Well, honestly, just the scene of him 3v1ing the raptors as opposed to what we got, I was just kind of disappointed.
Okay, no, because I definitely feel the payoff is definitely worth it. Because you end with the scene. You end with the scene. With the... I don't know.
Life finds a way.
Life did find a way. No, yeah, because the T-Rex is... They're all just chaos incarnate. That's what they are. They're just going 1,000 miles per hour, and all we could do is just hope we don't get eaten. No, I don't know. I like to... Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about Gennaro.
Characters in this movie. Gennaro. Gennaro's a big bitch.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, no, so in the book, he's supposed to be like a jack dude, isn't he?
Yeah, no. Yeah, they because they combined him with the Regis character.
Yeah, they did.
So, you know, he's the lawyer and the guy who abandons the kids.
And shits himself. And pees himself. And then he gets... And then he was taking a shit while he was getting eaten by the dinosaur. Like, of course. Of course he decided to take a shit. Yeah. Or maybe he shat himself and he was like...
Isn't that another thing, though, from South Park? When you die, you shit your pants?
Yeah.
Is that real?
I don't know. I'd have to ask Joanna, who's not currently here.
Oh, I'm sure that's going to be on one of her tests.
when a patient breathes their last breath, do they take their last shit? True or false?
True or false?
Or yes or no, I guess.
Yes.
Gennaro's more of a coward. I mean, I think Gennaro actually showed some cowardice at the end of the book, but no, he's definitely a big pansy in this movie, for sure. And especially, and I guess it was fitting how he died on the John being eaten by a big T-Rex.
The book, he's like willingly going around with Muldoon, and obviously that's fucking dangerous because there's fucking dinosaurs around. But yeah, no, in the movie, he's a lot. And then they kind of play up the lawyer that you hate character, but you know.
And he's like, oh, we're going to make so much money. So much money. Money.
He says it in the book, right?
He says it in the book, but then he also prefaces that way. Oh, this is super fucking dangerous. But on the other hand.
I hope to God that the park is safe.
Yeah, I know. Here. But meanwhile, in this movie, Gennaro's just like, money.
I feel like a lot of this discussion is basically going to be like, it's like stuff from the book, but less, which is the overview, right?
I mean, that's kind of how you generally will try to adapt a movie, right? Is because you can't fit into all the features and characteristics and attributes and all that into the movie. You could try to, and hopefully you'll succeed, but with the long form of content such as books or games, it's not always going to be the same. Oh, there actually is news I want to talk about. There's a screenshot of Tom Holland portraying Nathan Drake. Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. So I'm excited for that.
Oh, I think I saw a little screen cap of that somewhere.
Which is a little weird to me because Nathan Drake's supposed to be like gruff, 30s plus, and Tom Holland's Tom Holland's my age, but I think he has even more of a baby face than I do.
June 1st, 1996.
Yeah. He's a little older than me, but he could still pass off for 16 if
He's got the boyish good looks going on. Yeah, is that him with a mustache? He's got a mustache.
I probably have some. He's probably gonna have some like 5 o'clock for the movie, but unlike the other video game movies, I will try to support this one. Oh no, I guess I supported Sonic, but.
Supported the Pikachu.
Yeah, was pretty good. I didn't watch the WoW movie or the Assassin's Creed movie.
Well, I know you don't play WoW, but I'm sure like most of us have played. I mean, I've never played Assassin's Creed, so I don't give a shit. But
Fucking
no, I didn't either.
Oh, is this
no? But I'm saying I did play WoW. I don't give a. I'm just gonna say here, I don't really like watching movies that much. I'd rather like play a game or watch a series? Because I think because of what you've been saying this whole time, you miss out on a lot of content, a lot of details, because you have to sit down for that extended period of time.
Like, but I mean, that's not always a bad thing all the time, because sometimes people just want to get the condensed form, right? And it's not like or maybe sometimes you just see a movie as an original.
Oh yeah, definitely.
As an original, that already has like enough of a characterization, right?
I just remembered there's a Monster Hunter movie. That's happening. Fucking hell, why'd you
remember? So are we gonna watch that one?
I think
Hey man, the military's in it. I bet you James Cameron's directing this movie, right? I hope
no. I thought it was Paul W.S. Anderson. I think this guy does like did he do the Resident Evil movies? Creative voice, because isn't it Mila Jovovich? She was, because she's the girl in the Resident Evil movies, I think.
Oh, I think they're married.
Oh God, really? Is that why? Come on, right?
No, I can't speak.
Yes, they are. Oh my God.
Hey man, he's got that Capcom movie deal money.
Oh God, you're right. They're both Capcom games.
He's got that Capcom movie money, brother.
To be fair, like, I don't give a shit about a Monster Hunter movie. Like, why? I'll just play the games. But like, I'm just so morbidly curious, I guess.
Yeah, come on, you.
Yeah.
So it's not that you don't give a shit at all. You just like your expectations are fairly low.
Yeah, and it's more like if it's bad, I never really had a vested interest anyway. You know, which it probably will be.
I mean, because look, Monster Hunter games aren't really meant to be played for their story, right? It's more for the mechanics and maybe the world and the monsters and such. Yeah.
Yes.
So to make a movie of that, you know, to make a movie which is normally narrative-based, right? That's kind of why we watch movies. So to make a narrative-based form of media on a franchise that is not notorious for its narration is...
Yeah, I know, but I just remembered, hey, you know, they made a Battleship movie.
Oh my God, that was the dumbest shit ever.
Talking about taking games or origins that are...
We should do that movie. We should do fucking Battleship. Is a brilliant idea.
I think you're right.
We have to do Battleship. James Cameron, I think, directs that movie too, so now we have
to do it. Peter Berg, who the fuck are you?
Oh, it's not James Cameron? Damn.
No, it's not. What do you assume it's James Cameron?
I just think those shitty, big, you know, big movies.
Not Michael Bay?
Oh, yeah. Shit. I keep confusing.
I was really confused.
I've been shitting on the wrong guy this whole time. I have to apologize.
James Cameron, okay, he did make Avatar, I'm pretty sure he made, like, the Terminator. Like,
he made Terminator 2.
He makes fucking good movies. I'm like, why are you shitting on him?
what is he doing for me recently?
He's still alive.
Michael Bay. Sorry, Michael Bay was who I wanted to shit on. Not
James Avatar Bay. 2 and 3 still happening?
Does anyone want it to happen?
Yeah, I know. Because I remember when Avatar came back, everyone's like, oh, they've already signed on for like 20 sequels. And I'm like, there still hasn't been one yet.
Yeah, there still hasn't happened.
The most recent piece of Avatar...
The
most recent piece of Avatar lore we've gotten is the fucking world in Disney World. You know they did that?
Wait, what? It's a Disney franchise?
Land. No, it's not a Disney franchise, but I guess they bought the rights.
So it is now a Disney franchise.
I guess so, yeah. Because who the fuck else wants to make... Who the fuck else cares about Avatar anymore?
I hope they do a crossover with Guardians of the Galaxy and Rocket just kills all of them. On accident, quote-unquote. He's like, I hope he does the same quote when he met the golden people. He's like, wow, I heard you guys were pretentious, but you're totally not assholes at all.
You want him to commit mass extinction just like the dinosaurs did? Had to face.
Yeah, let's try to get back to it. Let's talk about the rock star mathematician,
fucking Jeff Goldblum,
Malcolm X. No, wait, no, sorry, Ian Malcolm.
Well, he does wear black, but you know we're not going to get into that. So I'm pretty sure he does. That's a fact.
Yeah, a fact. But he only wears black in this movie. That is correct.
Sure, most people probably.
He's always looking out for future Mrs. X Malcolm.
Yeah,
future X Mrs. Malcolm. There you go.
Yeah, I love that line. Now, I think a lot of people would consider him the breakout star, one of the most memorable characters of the movie. You know, I do think his performance is pretty good, but you know, as much I fucking love the big angry tirades it goes on, so I do miss that a bit from
yeah. I would say this one, this version of Malcolm's a more, I feel like he's kind of like kind of what Tony Stark would be in the Iron Man mm-hmm. movies, right? Like a smart know-it-all, but although it's not that he can't be serious, but it's more for like throwing in swarmy one-liners, right? More so.
Mm-hmm. Or to keep his sanity, perhaps, while he's in a fucking dire-ass situation where death is happening all around him, perhaps. And you do have that shot. You do have that shot of him fucking shirtless on the...
that's
just fucking... That's another...
Everyone loves that scene, man.
Everyone fucking loves him. Everyone loves Jeff Goldblum. Trying to sell me apartments. No.
Not nearly as Debbie Downer as Book Malcolm. Yeah, that's true.
Basically. Yeah, and they definitely don't delve into as much as Chaos Theory as the book did too. Again, you know, quote unquote dumbing it down.
And then he has to holla at Ellie the whole time. But he's not as sexist in the book.
Yeah, not really.
I mean, he was like lightly sexist, but I'm thinking of Gennaro. Sorry. I feel like they took the masculinity that Gennaro had in the books and just transferred it to Malcolm. You know what I mean?
See that?
Then they just melted down Ed Regis and inserted it back into Gennaro for the movie.
Love how this process is being described. Like,
isn't that? I mean, that's basically what they did, right?
Yeah, you know? No, they're not wrong.
Essentially, that's what happened.
That does. I don't think I said the line in the book that I liked, but when Gennaro meets Ellie for the first time in the book, he's like, "You're a woman," because he actually you hear him refer to Sadler like he presumes that it's going to be a male, and then she's like, "These things happen."
He really just like in the book, I think his character. His objective is the same, and it's, you know, promoting the idea, the concept of chaos theory, right? And he's putting over, especially with the water droplet example, except I think when he was describing in the book, he was saying in reference to an umbrella, but they charmingly made it different this time when he's just trying to, you know, become a little more friendly with Dr. Sattler and dropping some water on her head. And he doesn't seem to be dying as badly in this iteration. Yeah.
No, they don't. I mean, they don't outright say he's dead. So, yeah, he's in the helicopter, right? With Dan?
Yeah, he was in the helicopter.
He's fine. I mean, they got at that point. They already knew that they're going to make a sequel. I'm pretty sure he would be the star character.
Yeah, after the first 100 million, they're like, "Oh, we got to run it back, brother."
Do the run back.
But this time, instead of committing to this weird relationship between Sadler and Grant that I personally didn't like, we're gonna break him up for some reason.
Yeah.
What? Oh, sorry, that was a Scrubs reference.
I didn't hear that. I didn't catch the last part.
Instead of committing to the relationship between Sadler and Grant,
the part that you said at the very the little. Never mind. Whatever.
It was a reference to Scrubs.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. That. Whatever. Fuck it. Fuck it. Yeah. That. What the fuck is that? I don't
remember. Yeah. That. It's a.
Is that their like little hand thing? I don't know.
It's like when they had the little tiki skulls
It has been years. I have.
Yeah. That's a. I didn't think you were gonna get that one, but.
It's been a while since I watched Parks and Rec too. I watched a little bit of that the other day. I'm like, oh god, I gotta get back on.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Now let's talk about Lex and Tim. They switched roles on who's annoying and who's older. But yeah. Tim's not as annoying as Lex is, and Tim almost... Well, I guess Lex got a concussion in the book, but Tim almost dies from being electrocuted on the fence, which is kind of funny.
That was... I know. That I actually think that was one of my favorite moments.
Oh, really? As an adult or as a child?
I didn't really watch the first Jurassic Park as a kid. I just had.
So you're saying as a full grown man watching this small child grab the electrical fence at 10,000 volts just humored you and tickled you.
Do you have
because, to make this because like, you know what? Me too.
I guess when you put it that way, we both sound like big fucking creeps, don't we?
Hey, look, that fucking we. You know, Grant told that shithead, fucking let go at just three. Just fucking let go! And then he's like, no, I'm not gonna let go, because no, I'm scared!
I'm saying I enjoyed it from, like, a tension-based, like, pulse pounding. It was really exciting.
Oh, I just thought it was hilarious.
See, okay, that's...
I was like, oh shit,
maybe a little bit.
And then they didn't kill the kid.
When he was falling, it looked kind
of... And look, Grant also builds more of rapport with them, because then he's like, oh, your hair's all standing up, you know? Yeah. So nothing like joking around with a small child about a near-death experience that they just...
No, because it fits in. Actually, no, it fits in with the whole you don't know what to expect. Because remember, that fence is turned on
Hold on. How are you going to have a whole arc of Dr. Grant coming around to the idea of a family? But I kind of read about the second movie's plot just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you going to have them break up and say that Grant was too focused on his work when literally in the last movie, he came around to the idea of having a family? Like, what? Who wrote this shit? Let me talk to you about continuity.
Fucking Michael Crichton did. Oh, I don't know if he did the second movie.
I don't know if he did then. Yeah, I don't know if he did the second one. But
I could definitely believe that they did not bring him back. I mean, they still took the general concept of the Lost World.
You know, and the thing is, like, they still have Ellie in the third movie. I'm like, dude, if you can't. You're like half-assing the fact that this relationship happened. Like, just fucking leave it.
Hey, maybe they'll fix it in the newest one because they brought back their actors. So maybe.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
Now I'm kind of curious. Actually, now I kind of want to watch it.
I'll watch it. Because Fallen Kingdom is fucking amazing. As in, it's terrible. As in, I love it. I fucking love that movie. It's so bad.
Lex and Kid. How come they? Dude, why didn't they cut the line of "That's why Dad doesn't like you"?
I wonder why in the PG movie about where kids are gonna want to. So watch all the little
snot-nosed brats can look at each other and then look at their parents. And be like, why don't you like me as much as my brother?
Are you guys gonna get a divorce?
Don't forget, just because Lex is on the computer, she's now a hacker.
She's a hacker.
Doesn't she say that? Yeah, she says that. She's like, I'm not a computer nerd, I'm a hacker. I'm like,
right.
How many fucking lines of code have you written, you small child?
I remember messing around with my action replay when I was like 8, the same age, and I told my dad, yeah, I'm a hacker.
Oh, you're the worst. You were one of those kids that should have gotten ran over.
Wow, thanks, man. What a great friend you are.
Sure am.
Oh, that's why we do this podcast.
Oh god. Yeah, I don't think there's really much to say about the kids. They don't really have an arc. I guess they like Grant, or they get to like Grant, and Grant gets to accept them, but not much else to say, right?
Yeah. Moving on to Sattler. Yeah, I mean, other than the fact that she's the one that gets to turn the power on rather than someone else. Who was it? Grant. Oh, was it? Oh, yeah.
They sent a few people who got fucked up, and then they ended up with Grant doing it.
Mm-hmm. So,
I don't think her action scenes were as cool in the book as it was in the movie.
Yeah, now you jog my memory, because it's been a while since we finished.
Because I feel like in the movie, it's more just scream and run away, and she is fending for herself, but... In the book, she's like actively trying to fool the raptors, and obviously they turn the tables on her. But I don't know. I thought it was cooler in the book.
No, I'd probably agree with that. Now that I have a good, because I just remember. I guess I'll preface this by saying I did watch the opportunity to watch Jurassic Park in the theater, and actually I thought it was an amazing experience. So
I'm sure this is the first. Like one of the first major motion pictures you saw as a child in 1993, like this is a groundbreaking experience, I would dare say.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I mean, yeah.
But don't get me wrong. There's a lot of scenes in this movie that are done like exceptionally well. That although reading in the book, it's graphic and it's gory and such, and it's all good fun. You know, there are some things you can only see in a movie, right?
All in good fun. feels entrails for the first time. As the raptor closed its mouth around his head.
You know, I was really disappointed that Grant pointed out what it's like to get eaten by a raptor, that they eat you alive, and there's no scene of that.
Because he can't sell that to kids.
There's no entrails of there's no scenes of entrails actively being spilt out.
God, they really did make it PG so they could sell this to kids, didn't they?
Hey man, fucking... get that merchandise in, brother.
Hey, I was part of it. I had some Jurassic Park toys probably as a kid. I don't remember.
See, you didn't even need to see the movie, but you were into it.
I really
it,
didn't.
So.
I fucking I mean, I loved Jurassic Park. You
weren't even a wrinkle on your father's ball sack when this movie came out.
I loved Agumon. Agumon's cool. They turned into a bigger dinosaur.
They became a dinosaur with guns. Then he became a dinosaur man, but that could throw suns, I guess. But hey, that's still pretty
cool. Giant claws. Yeah, anyway.
Those are his draconic claws, because he's an anti-Drummond.
The Drummond Destroyers. I can't believe they actually fucking put that in when they were fighting Metal Siege on. Like,
I mean,
he has Drummond in the name! That means he's weak to them!
Yeah, because he's the king of the dragons, because he could fuck up all the other dragons, right? Wait, is Omnimon a holy type, or is he dragon? Or he wouldn't be dragon, because
he's beast and dragon. He's holy. He's holy. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Holy vaccine.
Because he's one of the holy knights, right? Or Knights of the Round Table.
Royal Knights.
Goddamn. I don't even know why I said that.
Well, yeah, fucking Eximon. He's a royal knight, and he's a dragon.
That's true.
So,
Eximon God, what's the Vemon?
It's like Ulforce Vedramon.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah,
that's a dragon type.
Gotcha. I got you. I can name all of them. Name all of
them. Galamon is a dragon type, right?
If you're going for type, I mean, I guess
or species.
I'd have to look it up. But you know what is a different kind of species we're talking about is kids. No, there's a line when Hammond meets Ellie and Grant, and then he's like, "Oh, the kids will love our attractions." And Grant's like, "What are those? Like the attractions?" But Ellie's like, "Kids, they're like small humans."
Like small, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good line. But yeah, talking about Grant, him and Hammond, I'd say, are the most different, I guess. Or I guess if your point about Nedry being very different, too. But, you know, these two stand out to me.
Grant's not like, as old.
Actually, he was still 43, Sam Neill, when he did the movie, I think.
No, but I think Grant in the book is 60.
Yeah, they say he's 40. Or oh, in his really? 40s. They say he's in his 40s. I was going to say the same point, too. Like, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, he looks younger. But I'm like, oh, he's 40 in this movie. But he looks younger. Doesn't have, you know, probably the big facial hair, big beard that I'm pretty sure he has.
He doesn't look as much of a hobo. I think Grant's more uptight in the movie.
Yeah.
As opposed to the book.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure even in the book, too, book Grant says he loves kids because, you know, they love dinosaurs. You know, they love his work.
And then also, I think the introductory scene for Grant was different because, like, he was like, oh, this is how we measure time in reference to beer cases. And then Grant gets all, you know, hot when, obviously Hammond also fucked up the dig site, but he got all hot when he ran into the, what's it called?
Yeah, that's a good point to make. Make him up more uptight, make him give him the arc with the kids. And
the first thing he says is, I hate computers. I think that's his first line or something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, definitely still comes off as very knowledgeable about dinosaurs. He still has that giddiness about him when he keeps asking questions about them, especially the raptors. Like, oh, how fast are they? You know, how intelligent? You know, how hard could they attack? How hard could they kill me? You know, stuff like that.
But he never kills the raptors. It's so sad. There's no 3v1. I want my 3v1.
Anyway, but yeah, so, I think that,
and he's dating Sattler, which I thought was, I mean, I don't know if I thought it was a little weird, but
that was a little weird. I mean, I don't think in terms of like looks, the age gap is like relevant to me, but yeah, she's like 20 years younger than him.
is she in this movie?
Yeah, check their age. Actually, at least their actual ages.
What was the age of the character in the movie? Do you know?
I don't remember.
But she's like 20, 25, something like that.
Yeah.
And then the I wasn't quite sure if they were dating, and then like when they were walking off hand and shoulder, he like it kind of looked like he grabbed her butts. It's like, oh, are they?
And it's a lot more subtle. I think they do include it to
There's a man and a woman in the movie. We had to make them doink,
imply they're doink, and also to have that scene when he's kind of jealous of Malcolm being all.
And then also had the scene with the little kids because you know family. Family.
I mean, I really wouldn't construe it as family. I really would just say.
No. Like, shut up. It's family.
Okay, you can take it. Anyway, you know who does have family? Speaking of family, Hammond is actually not a big piece of shit. Which yeah. I will say, I actually
type of guy. Oh, go ahead.
I vastly prefer. No, I understand where novel Hammond's coming from. He is that just fucking
God complex.
Yeah, piece of shit. Like you have no morals. You will do anything it takes for a quick buck, and you are doing it in like the worst way possible. I understand that, but I think a lot of this is Richard Attenborough, Burroughs' performance as John Hammond in the film, is that you could just tell that he's a kid at heart that has to watch his fucking dream go up in fantastic. God, like, people died on his watch. He has to live with that for like the 2 years he has left to live because he's old as fuck. But you know,
oh, okay.
No, but you know, I just really, and I think it adds a more dimension. Because I would say he's a little one dimensional. I think you could agree too, in the book that he's basically like, you know, money mode.
I'm gonna read what it says here. It gives his character depth and how he actually learned something as opposed to dying like a bitch.
Yeah, no, definitely. And especially, well, I guess we'll get into notable ones then. But yeah, no, I think that he's the biggest change, and that's why I said it for last.
Yeah, he's more definitely more of a sympathetic character.
Definitely,
like he comes around to the idea. So when it was Dr. Wu that was essentially telling Hammond, "Hey, these they skipped the whole improving the dinosaurs part, but instead of Wu or Malcolm lecturing Hammond in a big scene, it actually ends up being Ellie, which is different from the book. But I guess the point of it is that Hammond does start to realize and eventually comes around to the idea that, hey, we probably shouldn't have Jurassic Park because it's not safe. So there is and honestly, what matters most to him was his grandchildren when they were in danger, not, oh, no, they're going to fuck up the park. Because in the book, boys and girls, the reason why he brought the kids was to try to sway Gennaro. So nothing like, you know, possibly putting your own spawn in danger just so you can get your fucking park running. Hammond in the book is the type of guy to be like, oh, if I could find a cure for cancer, why shouldn't I be able to charge people whatever I want for it? I made it.
It's his right.
Me. It's all about my money. Money. Yep.
And then I think that is why, you know, I appreciate movie Hammond because it is coming from a genuine love for dinosaurs and for nature. Now,
ensuring that with children and such.
Yeah, and yeah, did he fail really bad? Yeah, yes, he did. Yeah, but he didn't. Like you said,
Gennaro wants to have a coupon day. Oh my god, what a motherfucker! Yeah, it seems like they kind of shifted that selfish and greed onto Gennaro. But yeah. I guess they kind of just made Gennaro the toilet paper character,
the fucking scapegoat.
Yeah,
like he's the one. Okay,
but then again, I guess it's better that he existed as opposed to, you know, being wiped off the agenda like Ed Regis was.
He got combined. There's a lot of his DNA in Gennaro now.
Yeah, like how it went down the toilet essentially.
Yeah, he got some fecal material in there.
If anything, he's better than Regis because Regis only pissed himself, but Gennaro shit himself. So that's a whole step higher.
That's how you should establish dominance, really. I mean. I mean, yeah, if someone came into like your fucking room and just shit on your bed, like fuck, that's a statement.
As opposed to them peeing on it,
yeah.
I guess
if they just peed on it, if they just peed on it, you're like, okay,
yeah, that's right. Normal.
But if they poop, well, come on, like that's a fucking move right there. Anyway, speaking of notable moments, we've talked about a lot of them a little bit throughout our discussion leading up to this point. But I guess we'll go through what we have here. First off, you have any questions at all?
I think the only one that stood out to me majorly was I think before he ran into the T-Rex, I think he was saying in his exposition in the beginning, he's like, oh, we know that T-Rex visual acuity is based on movement. Mm-hmm. I'm just like thinking, like, how can you possibly determine that? You know, and granted, I'm not as savvy in biology, but in the book, how it went is that Grant didn't know that until he observed it from watching the T-Rex. So I just thought it was kind of weird that he pointed that out before he actually ran into the T-Rex at the park.
If I knew more, because the way paleontology works in real life is actually fucking amazing. How we're able to fucking get any sort of information from just fucking bones is fucking basically magic.
Yeah, when you fuck some bones, I think you get a lot of information from them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fucking crazy.
Especially with the boner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the pubis bone. Yeah, I know.
Bones pubis?
We have found fucking fossilized, not dinosaur penises, but in the La Brea tar pits, where they got lots of dire wolves. Lots of dire wolf penis. Plenty of dire wolf penis in the La Brea tar pits.
So smart me up, what's the difference between a regular wolf and a dire wolf?
Canis Dyrus. Fuck, I can't.
Okay.
No, it was basically a larger, or maybe not exactly like in terms of mass, but no, stockier species of wolf that was around.
So yeah, they are larger than.
Yeah, no, they're real. They're not just a fucking fantasy creature. Like, they're real fucking.
They're not things you kill in Skyrim.
They weren't just things you kill in Skyrim. Oh.
And then I know it was for exposition for the movie, but Alan like asked Hammond like, which dinosaur is this? You know, and I think it was in reference to the DuckTales or something. But in my mind, I'm just thinking, I don't think a dinosaur expert would really ask which dinosaur this is if he's, you know, like he at least have an idea of it. But honestly, I don't know if that's really a point of contention. But
I would say
it just kind of bugged me more than anything.
I would say it can be a lot of animals that are related, that are kind of related but technically different, do look like each other. So I wouldn't be, and especially because these are extinct animals that we've never seen with our own eyes. So
yeah, I mean, like I was saying,
there's plenty of fucking duck-billed dinosaurs that are just like generic. I don't want to call them generic dinosaurs, but kind of a little bit. You know, they got the same general. Actually, that's a very interesting thing about taxonomy of naming dinosaurs. A lot of times, because we don't know these animals for real, a lot of times we don't know if we're naming a completely new species, or maybe this is a juvenile version the juvenile version that has changed, matured. Because plenty of animals go through significant changes throughout their life as they grow up. You know, like frogs, as the most important.
Why didn't this Alan fight three raptors at the same time?
Oh, that's your fucking review. That's your review right there.
Yeah, that's all my we're ending it here. That's my closing statement.
Oh god, yeah.
No 3v1, no enjoyment.
No. Okay. Anyway, let's getting back to
I would say there's not really, the only thing that I thought was strange was him pointing out the visual acuity of the T-Rex prior to meeting the T-Rex, which he didn't even know existed in the first place, but that was my only
issue. Was based, I'm pretty sure that thing, that the concept was based in real life paleontology. I forget how they derived it. So,
and then like I said, that point could be moot because, you know, I don't know enough about paleontology to dispute that. So
there you go.
But I am just saying, in the book that's not how it went, but it's not the book, so who cares.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, those notable moments, I'm pretty sure we've mentioned most everything. Film opening hot with the raptor kill that we don't get to see exactly. Grant interacting, his first interaction with kid, telling him about getting eaten by a raptor. I fucking just love Nedry's.
It eats you while you're alive. At least a lion will fucking bite your jugular and kill you. Raptors eat you alive.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they won't. I've seen them fucking eat zebras alive. They don't
fucking
care sometimes.
Fucking metal. Yeah. I wish I could eat my meals alive.
Metal lion mon? Does that exist?
I'm sure it will at some point.
Well,
I feel like grapple leomon. Yeah,
why are we
both fucking in sync, bro.
Honestly, I didn't get it's grapple leomon. Like, I thought he was like. Oh, when I was a kid, I was like, why is he like a grape leomon? I don't get it.
Oh no! Yeah. Because
he's a fucking idiot.
Because he's a grappler.
Oh my god. But yeah, fucking Nedry's introduction, I fucking love. You know, I got the Dodson. We got Dodson over here. Yeah,
that was a good yeah, line. Dude. I didn't realize when I first saw that meme. I didn't realize that was Jurassic Park.
Yeah, no. And also when he was putting the shaving cream on his hand, and then he puts it on someone else's pie. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, he's definitely more. Like we mentioned earlier, this movie is not as harsh with its tones and with its themes, and then tonally it's more lighthearted. And we say that because it's a lot more comedic, I would say, than the book.
Say that too. What else we got? Oh yeah, when they first introduced Malcolm and he's talking to them, and they're like, "Oh, have you heard of chaos theory? Strange attractors? Dr. Sadler, I refuse to believe that you know nothing about attraction." Like, what a fucking character.
I really kind of feel like he was, I feel like this is kind of like the character that Tony Stark would be, you know, just being a smartass. But I feel like Tony's a lot more, he's less scatterbrained about it, you know. I mean, maybe Ian's still pretty focused.
You could say Malcolm's character is all, his brain is a little more chaotic. But yeah, we got the first shot of dinosaurs, obviously with the big theme and the line, "Welcome to Jurassic Park." Yeah. And I think they do a great job. I guess we'll get into key directing with that one. Fucking the guided tour when Hammond's talking to himself and then he clones
himself. Actually really like that video. Like, I know that wasn't in the book, but I actually thought that was a welcome addition, you know? Because not only is it neat for like the children watching the movie, but I thought it was a nice way to sum it all up and pack it together for the movie.
I actually do think I think the DNA bit is a little bit and I get it. Okay, this is a movie that can cater to kids. I won't say it's for kids, but
it does cater PG. To kids. I would say it's for kids.
Because I think four kids has a different connotation than appropriate for kids. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think I get what you're saying. Four kids is like Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or something. Or like fucking that.
Apparently VeggieTales for preschool. No, fucking Bianca's so mad that you said that about VeggieTales. Because I was like, yeah, we should do VeggieTales. And you're like, I think that's a little too preschool. And she got so mad. VeggieTales?
I don't want to do VeggieTales, to be honest. Dude. Like... I think we're pretty open-minded on our topics, but I don't think I want to do VeggieTales.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not super into it either. But I mean, if I'd be open, if you wanted to,
Don't worry, I really don't want to.
They got some songs. They got some songs that I kind of hate because they're just in my brain, just keep playing over and over and over.
I can't remember them, and I'd like to leave it like that. Yeah, I'm just cleaning up my annotations for stuff that I already mentioned, so just keep on rolling through what you got here. Yeah, you still thinking of VeggieTales?
Bunny. Ooh. I love the bunny. I don't want shoes or just the bunny.
The one I distinctly remember is
but bunnies are cool.
You motherfucker. The one I distinctly remember is the one when he's like kind of singing in Spanish, right? When he's like the screen's black and white and... No, you don't remember that one?
I bet Bianca would. Anyway,
let's keep just saying like Como Estas or something.
No problem.
Oh, his name was Joffrey. The Hispanic guy that dies in the beginning. I had the subtitles on. His name was Joffrey. It was J-O-P-H-R-E-Y.
I'll be fucking damned. He had a name. That's crazy. Did he say did someone say his name?
Yeah, I think Muldoon said his name.
Okay. Oh, but no, I actually did catch this line when I was catching it. I didn't notice this one. But when they are in the guided tour after the video and they see the workers in the DNA lab or whatever, and Gennaro's asking like, "Hey, are those workers? Are they like auto erotica?"
Yeah, I know. I was like, this motherfucker. You mean autonomous?
What the fuck, man?
You know, I'm pretty sure you have to go through a lot of studying and going through a lot of hoops to become a lawyer. And then this motherfucker just says autoerotic. I'm like, what? Excuse me?
Is it like autoerotic
asphyxiation?
There you go.
Yeah, it's when you choke yourself when you beat your meat.
Yeah, no. I think David Carradine, if you ever heard of him, that's how he died.
Oh. Okay.
He's in a bunch of terrible movies.
He's about to become the star of this podcast.
Yeah, no, I mean, wait, I'm definitely down for doing some David Carradine movies. I mean,
but not VeggieTales.
No, I'm down for VeggieTales too.
That was the wrong answer. You know what? This podcast is finished. You say that shit again, we're done.
I'm down for VeggieTales.
Fuck you, we're done. I'm out. Peace.
Anyways, like we got Life Finds a Way. That one's pretty good. And I think, yeah, the tension leading up to the first Rex attack, I think that was a fan-fucking-tastic scene.
And obviously, the Rex attack itself, I thought, because the only thing you could hear is the children screaming and the T-Rex roar. There's no music or anything. Yeah. So when the Rex just stabs its fucking head through the glass, and I think, honestly, the use of the CG and the animatronics really does make a difference. Because
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There you go.
Okay. Well, seeing the animatronics, like, because, you know, when you see CG, especially in the 90s, you know, so there's a good chance that you'll be able to point it out and it looks fake, right? It looks disingenuous. Mm-hmm. But seeing the animatronic of it, like, oh my God, this, you know, it creates that suspension of disbelief.
Yeah. And I will say, I do think at least the Rex in particular, the CG for it actually still holds up to.
Oh, yeah. Thing, yeah. I agree.
And so, yeah, I think the way they, I mean, I guess this is maybe more key directing, but yeah, the way they directed that whole scene is masterful. Even I'd say that word, I'd use it. It's good.
Yeah. Nidri's death. Yeah, he got killed by what are those things called?
The Dilophosaur.
Okay, I was thinking it's not Dilophosaur. I had to keep remembering. Yeah,
you said that last time.
I know. I'm aware.
Never forget the Dilophosaur.
The Dilophosaurus Rex.
What do we got here? Yeah, grand bonding with the kids and the treetops. That was a nice little moment, character building moment for them. Oh, and I really liked the scene with Hammond and Ellie, and they're in the canteen or restaurant,
the
or whatever.
Circus. Yeah, the referee.
Yeah, the oh man, that fucking line of him going like, "I wanted to show them something that wasn't an illusion." Like, oh.
Oh, hey, man, guess what? If something's not an illusion, if it decides to eat you, that won't be an illusion either.
Yeah, no, it's more like maybe you shouldn't have made that something that I never.
If anything, before. Like, why would you make them all at the same time? Couldn't you do like one at a time?
No, that's.
And if anything, did you really have to make the fucking meat eaters too? Like, goddamn, the meatosauruses or whatever.
You can just test that with like a little. Will be like a very safe small one. There's small ones like Psittacosaurus. That guy's small. He's like a. Oh, now I'm gonna just look up dinosaurs. Now I'm just gonna spend the rest of this time looking up dinosaurs.
Tim getting electrified was hype. See, you were excited about it too.
No, I was okay. I put hype in terms of like, yeah,
like it was hilarious that he almost died.
Oh my god.
For being a shithead kid.
Yes.
Not letting
yeah,
see.
Sure.
See, he didn't Why let not? Go Why in the beginning not? In the tree. So he learned his. He got his comeuppance, that little shithead kid, when he didn't let go with the electrical fence.
I didn't write it down here, but I will mention, of course, obviously the kitchen scene with the raptors. And they had the same similar scene in the book.
There was a really cool moment in that scene when the raptor goes to charge Lex. And then I actually thought it was Lex, but it was really more her reflection.
Yeah, the reflection. Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, that was actually a good directing.
Oh, trip. You know what? Actually, I will say, and I guess I feel like key directing in Noble Moments, a lot of times,
Well, that's kind of why it's one after the other, is because they interrelate.
Yeah, because I feel like this would be a key directing part, but whatever. They have the shot of, I think it's near the end somewhere with the raptor, and it has lights coming onto it, and it's a DNA sequence.
I have that. Exact scene in my notes. Yeah, no, I think not only is it just visually a cool scene, but it just goes to show that man created this creature, right? It's a man-made DNA creation.
You could go with that too, but I mean, you could also go with I mean, DNA is in non-man-made creatures as well. This specific strand of DNA was man-created, but I don't know, I thought it was kind of like,
yeah, that's why I thought it was relevant.
I don't know. I was just going with the bear. This is nature in its purest, most chaotic form, stripped down to even components that parts. science tries to understand but ultimately can't.
Isn't that just a headline? Science tries to understand but ultimately can't.
That's a good one too, actually. You're right. Fuck, I just came up with that right now. Holy crap. I'm gonna write that one down.
Yeah, you're gonna patent it. Make sure you write that down, Vince. I know you're listening.
What the? How is he gonna use this line in wrestling?
Oh, trust me. When he releases the reptile avian version of Mantar and calls it a T-Rex Tar.
Isn't there a
Or Man Rex? There you go.
Luchasaurus, a guy.
Not in WWE, but
AEW, right?
Yeah, that's an AEW. But and then another brilliant shot that I wanted to point out was, okay, I already said the T-Rex shots. Look how they eat. Bet you'll never look at birds the same way.
That's true. Actually, I guess this is still also notable moments too, but actually the first scene with Grant back in the the dig, when he says, oh yeah, they're like birds, and everyone laughs. Because, yeah, the general public didn't really have an understanding of the relationship between dinosaurs and birds at the time. It really was Jurassic Park that really brought it to the forefront. So, yeah, I'll get back into maybe in closing thoughts. But, you know, I think that was another way this movie it was an innovator.
Another notable moment I want to point out, and this is common not only in movies but also in, like, media, TV shows and whatever, but when the prior scene ends with a line and then cuts to a scene in direct reference to that line. And when they use it here is when Ellie's like, oh yeah, she's speaking to Grant or someone. And she's like, oh yeah, the raptors contain, unless they can learn, figure out how to open doors. And then cuts to the raptor opening a fucking door handle. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I think we described a similar thing in the way the book was structured too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. So yeah, no, not just through the books, but you know, they did it well here too. So
they skipped I wouldn't say it's a notable moment. If anything, it's like a notable leave out, I guess, but they took out the pterodactyl cage sequence, which if you were to cut a sequence for time, I think that would be a correct
they didn't spend cut. I mean, they did get attacked, but yeah, I would say,
and they didn't spend nearly enough time dodging the T-Rex, I would say.
Because, yeah, that would mean you'd have to make pterodactyls then, and, you know, that's money. And that's why they had him
in the budget.
That's why they had in the third movie.
Oh, were they not in the second one?
No, but they were in the third.
I remember that. I actually distinctly remember that. And the last thing I want to point out is obviously near the end. Yeah. So instead of nuking the island, which, okay, but, you know, they have when the T-Rex decides to be a superhero and save the main cast, and by eating the raptor, I thought it was just a really cool scene to have the T-Rex roar, and then as he's roaring, the banner falls that says when the dinosaurs ruled the earth, obviously. And clearly the dinosaurs rule the earth, at least in that context.
And I would definitely say it's either that or maybe the Welcome to Jurassic Park scene are the most iconic to come out of this movie. Both are very, very
spare no expense.
Spare no expense.
He says this so many times. I'm like, does. Did they know this was going to become a running joke or a meme? What is this?
No, I mean, that was a thing in the book, you know?
Just like in this podcast, we spared no expense.
Yeah. That's...
We spared a few expenses, that's for sure.
It wasn't completely free. Wish it was, but, you know, we live in a world. Okay. Oh, and I guess I really appreciated, I guess, the very end when they're on the helicopter and you get little shots of birds, pelicans, little birds. And I kind of like to think, well, one, you know, you bookend the movie with today's dinosaur descendants. And two, it's like, yeah, you know, let's go back to a world where the dinosaurs don't have giant sharp teeth and are just kind of annoying. Although I did try to fucking put over how vicious pelicans can be, because they can be. They're fucking scary.
Can they?
Yeah.
But not as vicious as hippos, man. Hippos will fuck you up.
I mean,
up.
That's not fair. Hippos are fucking unfair. They need to be nerfed.
Nerf in nature, hippos.
They're fucking... I just remember... Did you see the clip of Well, actually, I don't know if it's. It was just what? A clip of a guy slapping a hippo's ass in a zoo.
And he got fucked up. I'm like,
dude, you're so. No, I wish. I don't think that. I don't think dude, that.
That motherfucker's playing with fire for
if
sure.
If that actually, I'm sure if he actually got his comeuppance, that wouldn't be a video on YouTube. You'd have to dig a little deeper to find where that video somewhere on the internet.
Yeah, dude, hippos. I think more people die from hippo attacks than other wild animals in that region, which is insane.
Yeah, no, definitely. Because
hippos aren't even they're herbivores, aren't they?
Yeah, but I think this is the thing with a lot of media.
Yeah, we all have the conception that carnivores are the danger, but if hippos hippos really are the ones that fuck people up, or you're most likely get fucked up by a hippo, which isn't a carnivore, I think that kind of says something.
No, it really definitely is. Like hippos, rhinos are super aggressive. Elephants too. Elephants are not gentle giants. They're fucking dangerous. They'll fuck you up too. They don't care. What? Like if you're not. If you're not them, they don't like you. That's a lot of animals. That's how you survive.
Too, but...
Well, yeah. That's how you survive out there in the world. Gotta look out for number one.
Oh, no.
Where am I going? Okay, let's get into Keith directing. Obviously, we've been kind of sprinkling in different shots and different moments and how they kind of relate.
Something I want to point out, and also I think it was a restriction to the times, but also probably to save money on the budget, but... A lot of the violence, for the most part, is left to the imagination until we get... It ramps up at the end until we actually see the brutality of it. But a lot of it in the beginning is left for the audience to imagine, which I actually appreciate because it builds that anticipation, that intensity for... And then when you finally get to see it, it pays it off.
Yeah. Because, you know, it starts off hot with the fucking raptor scene, so they quickly establish...
But they actually don't show it, though. They do show a guy suffering, but they don't physically show the raptors.
They just show you like, hey, watch out. And then they keep building them up and up. And, you know,
and then, you know, they tease it with the raptor cage being broken. And then when you finally get the scene of the raptors coming out in the kitchen, or rather Ellie running away from them, you're like, this is bad shit. Oh, sorry. There's one notable moment left I want to point out.
Go for it.
It's when the shithead kids were eating and then what's it called? Lex's hand just starts shaking, holding the gelatin on the spoon. And it cuts to the back, and then you see like the cartoon raptor on the wall, but then you see an actual silhouette of the real. I thought that was another
That's
brilliant.
Good one,
That was a brilliant directing shot.
Because you see her.
Hats off to Steven Spielberg.
I'm watching it right now.
Are you really?
That's
it is such a good scene.
I have it open. Okay. Yeah,
it's good, dude. Like
no, it's good. It's great. This movie is great.
It's the peak of that intensity in the moment, you know? Yeah. Because obviously they just survived, like, almost getting eaten by a T-Rex, right? And like, oh, finally a little reprieve, and as they're enjoying themselves.
I think that goes, maybe this can be filed under key directing, but it's good how they had the Rex, the big power player, and then you had the Raptors, who are a little more stealthy, a little more, two different types of threats, two different types of action, two different types of danger, so...
Two different kinds of scenes, honestly, because obviously they're both high intensive scenes, but I would say the T-Rex is more akin to like your The Rock action movies when you have the Raptors, and that's more akin to like
horror slasher movie.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, they're stalking you. That's actually what the movie and books portray their behavior is.
Saving the big reveals, especially the raptors. The raptors only show up, like, I think even past halfway, you see an actual raptor.
I agree.
Costume. So, yeah, they did a great job. The Amber Mine scene in the beginning, the second scene hints at the DNA process. Relationship between birds, fairly new concept at the time, and his distaste for the kids. Nedry even giving a hint. 6 foot turkey. Even Nedry giving a hint on his motivation when he asks Dachshund to pay for the meal. Like, don't get cheap on me. That was Hammond's mistake. That was a little slick one line.
I think it was a good way to compartmentalize his character motivation and still, you know, not be too short with it. You know, like, it's not like Nedry is betraying Hammond out of nowhere. Like, there's and they touch on it later too when him and Hammond are arguing, like, no, we're not going to argue about your financial woes yet again. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, definitely. Was the rough helicopter landing, was that a sign of things to come? I don't know. I did like how in that scene...
I mean, it kind of shows like there's a lack of care that Hammond does. And instead of a Jeep, they just straight up send Hammond on a helicopter.
Oh, and actually, in that scene too, you had Grant who couldn't put his figure out how seatbelts were, but he was able to just tie them all together and find a way out of a tricky situation, like he does later on in the rest of the movie, finding himself. Not against the Raptors. The DNA cartoon is just
exposition. That was actually pretty funny, though. It was endearing.
Yeah, I wasn't the biggest fan of it.
Really? I think for the movie, it was appropriate to have that as opposed to how they explained it in the book.
Yeah, I understand the necessity of it, but I wasn't the biggest fan of its execution, I guess. Just the way they build up the Raptors is the super mega, you know.
Raptor means bird of
prey. It does. It actually does. And that was one of the last lines in like chapter 2 or 3 in the book when the lady was looking it up. For Muldoon's first line in the film is straight up, they should all be destroyed.
Yeah, the Raptors. Man, I'm so sad he died. And he's not as much of a booze hound either.
not at all.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they don't have a rocket launcher either, too. Oh, man, they missed out. I love it.
Muldoon isn't as cool. Grant isn't as cool. Salah. Actually, let me sum it up for you. Not everyone is as cool as they should be. And Hammond's not as shitty as he was.
I like Hammond in the movie. I just love him in the book. He's like, yeah, in order to deal with the fucking T-Rex, I need a fucking bazooka.
I mean, is he wrong?
I don't think he's wrong. No, he's not wrong. Is he wrong? Because no animal is that fucking big in today. Like, no one thinks I need a fucking gun to kill it. Well, I guess you do need a gun to kill an elephant. You don't want to go at that with a fucking bow or something. No, but you don't need a fucking...
You just kill it with your bare hands, right?
Oh, yeah, you just punch it in
punch its straight nose. Snout, yeah. They say if you get attacked by a tiger, you should bite it on its nose while it's trying to eat you.
Anyway, going on to the effects, like we said, the CG still holds up, and it's a good mix of not just CG, but also the
practical. Didn't you see that scene in Yakuza 2 when Kiryu fought off the tiger? Not the tiger Yakuza, a literal tiger, by punching it straight on the nose?
And, I mean, the fucking music, of course, the John Williams theme is one of the most iconic.
Yeah, you're just going to ignore me, you motherfucker.
You know, I fucking love it. The way they use it. The introduction.
Use my fucking heat action on you.
Fucking the what?
Use my heat moves on you.
But yeah, the way they use the
essence of me.
What the fuck are you talking
about? Essence of... Well, if you played Yakuza, you'd understand.
Maybe I should.
If you played Big Boy Persona, you would understand.
Where do I start?
Persona
1?
Yes. Any of them. It doesn't matter. The plot's kind of muddled.
But then didn't they remake like one? Should I play the remake or the original?
I would definitely, if you have any access to the remakes, I would definitely play that instead of the originals.
I would say their remakes are probably more accessible, I think. Are they?
Yeah.
They're on PC.
They're on PS4 as well.
Kiwami Arms. Die.
Wait, yeah, right?
That was such Kiwami a good debut coming. Scene for an Ultimate Form.
Kiwami Arms is probably still my favorite.
It was good, dude. It was good. He had access to all the weapons, too.
God, it's like it's so clean. Because a lot of times...
Then he became especially God. Now,
then he became a god, and then he showed up again in Zio, and he had, like, fucking white hair.
He's still a god?
Yeah, he's still right. A god.
What
he's still
a weird fucking season.
Still hanging out with his goddess wife.
She showed up? They were able to get her? No, they didn't?
They probably just... I'm just assuming that... Maybe they are having a fucking spat or something. Oh, God, yeah, he's got a big
cult. I'll have this side of the planet. You can have the other side
of the planet. Oh, fucking hell.
I don't think they're doing it there since they made the planet, but sure.
Special effects, music's amazing. Fucking iconic Jurassic Park theme. Okay, I think that's. I don't know what else I have to say. The lack of blood.
The CG really does hold up for the time.
Yeah, no, it does.
Yeah. Like, it didn't look horrible. In fact, I would say it looked. I think with the combination of the practical effects, it actually made it look better than some CG you'll see today.
Yeah, no, definitely. I especially love the lighting in that the sexy Malcolm shot when he's laying on the table. The lighting.
I know the light's just shining down, and he's just like, you know, on his side.
It's iconic.
Which I don't understand why his shirt would be buttoned open when he hurt his leg. So now that I'm thinking about it.
No, I think it's like he's hot. It's a tropical climate, you know.
Thank you. No, I'm just making it. But
What? No, wait, what? I'd do that. I'd take my shirt off to cool down.
I wish you took your shirt off right now.
I can do it. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you're committing to it?
All right, here we go.
Oh, great. Man, welcome to the sex cast. Just oozing.
Go back oozing to the ASMR.
Entry. Yeah, yeah.
Are we gonna go back into the ASMR mode?
Oh, God.
Anyway, Jurassic Park was a really good movie. I really liked it.
It wasn't as good as B-movie, though.
Well, I guess it wasn't as good as B-movie, because, I mean, you know, the B-movie is one of the greatest cinema achievements of our generation. Oh, God. That's annoying to do that voice. I don't like doing it. That's work. I gotta work. Anyway, now that I've driven off all one of our viewers from
before we close up, one more thing I want to point out on the imagination of violence is they don't explicitly show the goat getting murdered, but they do throw a goat limb straight on top of the car before it gets wrecked by the T-Rex. So the anticipation for the violence is expertly built. But
yeah, no, I think yeah, good I job think it's
time we wrap it up here.
Wrap it up.
Yeah. So go final ahead.
Thoughts. So yeah, I think I might, I'm getting the feeling that you probably prefer the book. And I think at the end of the day, I also say I would probably prefer the book, probably because it does have that edge that the movie is lacking. Because at the end of the day, it does have to appeal be marketable to appeal to children too. But at the end, I still think it still holds up as a fantastic movie on its own, even without a lot of the stuff they cut out. And I don't know, just really fun to watch. I think the effects still hold up great. I think the acting was fantastic. Anything else? Music was great.
It's iconic.
Got its themes across. Probably, yeah, I would say the themes are stronger in the book, but it got them across well enough. So yeah, no, definite one of the greatest movies of all time. I don't know. I don't know if you might agree with that. I don't know. I don't really consider myself a film buff. I don't know a lot of the iconic films. I mean, it's one of my favorite films.
I remember another iconic film, Concrete Jungle, when one of the key lines is like, are you trying to dick me or something?
Trying to bone me.
That's what it was. God damn it. But I will agree. Like I said earlier, if I didn't read the book, I think I'd feel a little differently about the movie. I still think this is a good movie, and you know, that goes to show why it's one of the highest grossing movies of all time, not just in its time. And sure, maybe they don't dig in as deep on some of the darker themes, and it's not as tonally harsh as the book, but it could still be enjoyed even from... It just shows that it could be enjoyed for a more general view, not just from older people, but also children. And that doesn't go without saying that there's some expertly done shots that people can appreciate in this movie, like for example the genome sequence or the raptor sequence or the T-Rex. You know, there's still, just because it's meant for children doesn't mean it was lazily put together.
Yeah, and I think that really is what brings the Jurassic Park the movie its own. It comes into its own is with the directing, with the fact that it is a visual medium. I think a lot of comparisons to different forms of media is like, do you think this thing deserves to exist? Because, you know, sometimes you get adaptations are like, really, you know, kind of sucks.
We did something like that recently. I said this is kind of stupid. What was it?
That was kind of stupid. What was it?
That's what I'm trying to ask.
Well, Bianca did. She did find not because of the podcast, but she saw a image of what was his name, Jaden Smith's character in Neo Yokio with the big Toblerone.
She was like,
"Did this happen?" And I'm like, I explained it to her. Like, yep. He was gonna gift it to a girl that she said she didn't care about fashion, and then
she ended up. And then she's super like, "I'm not into him." And then he said, "I'm into you." And then she's like, "Oh, okay, I like you now." Yeah, you know, I know Neo Yokio is not a direct adaptation of anything, but it is supposed to be like sort of a adaptation of anime. And honestly, yeah, that was the shits. Like that was the fucking shits. Oh my god!
I mean, maybe if I didn't like
it. All right, here's a hot take right here: Jurassic Park is not as shitty as Neo Yokio.
Because maybe if I had preconceived notions of anime and how dumb it was, and I didn't actually like it, I might see myself liking Neo Yokio. Because it's like, wow, this is stupid. Look, anime's dumb. Like, I feel like maybe some people who like it come from that mindset. I don't know. I don't want to talk to those people, really.
Yeah, let's not talk to your sister.
She doesn't.
I know, I'm just playing.
She likes it. She likes it. She's okay. She's a weeb. She'll admit it.
All right, I think we're joining on here. Let's wrap it up. So, yeah, no, obviously, at the end, we say, what kind of audience would we recommend this to? Seeing as this movie made $1 billion, I don't think there's really much nuance or thought that could say that this audience is meant for all viewers, or rather, this movie is intended for all viewers, both small and big, young and old. And it goes to show, because not only did we didn't grow up watching this movie, because this movie was made before we were born, but even still, we were able to appreciate it. So it shows that this movie aged well and it was expertly made, I would dare say.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, that's why we might not have grown up with this movie specifically, but the franchise definitely was hovering around in our childhoods. And to this
now, day, should it have hovered on to this day? I don't know. We'll have to watch movies and answer those questions later.
I am so glad Fallen Kingdom got made, because I love laughing at that film so much. I love it so much.
But hey, I hope you loved laughing with us. We're not a weekly podcast, but we pretend to be. Catch you next time.
See ya.